Good morning. Welcome to our time of worship. It's so great to be here worshiping together on this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. It's great to see the sun out. There's all kinds of announcements for you to read. I'm just going to highlight a few. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be having communion. So there's some details in the bulletin about that. There's a ladies' coffee hour coming up on May 31st, so you can read about that and see Elaine Reimer if you need some more information. And volunteers are needed to visit our seniors. So if this is something that you have a little bit of time for, please call Trudy Entz or Ann Hubert. And it could be as simple as sending a card or making some phone calls. So that would really be appreciated. And the Kids Club program is looking for volunteers to build cup cars on June 1st. So if this is something that you think you can help with, please contact Megan Vandenberg. And finally, we invite you to sign the book at the side of the narthex there, close to the cry room, to share your well wishes and memories for Pastor Randy as he prepares to retire next month. And we hope that this will be a nice keepsake for him as we wish him well in the next stage of his life. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 68, verses 1 to 4. It's page 902 in your pew Bible. It's written for the director of music, a psalm of David. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. And may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in his praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. This time I want to invite the worship team up to lead us in singing Step by Step and Praise to the Lord. So if you're able to, I invite you to stand as we sing.
I will.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this new day and the opportunity to gather together in worship. We come before you with open hearts and minds, ready to receive your wisdom and guidance. As we gather here on this Sunday morning, we ask that you would bless our time together and help us to grow in our faith and love for you. May your holy presence fill this place, and may our worship be pleasing to you. Amen. Let's continue to sing, Breathe On. And following this, the children are invited to come forward for the children's story. Brian Kors has a story for you today.
Okay, so does Boo make you happy there? Is that joy? Yeah. So she's here to see you. But this is the story. Joy is what we're going to talk about today. Joy is such a wonderful thing. Hey, Boo. And anyways, this is what the little frog here is about. This frog is about joy, where frogs like water, like to be in the swimming. They certainly enjoy happiness, right? See this frog here? Does he look happy? Yeah, he's got a smile on his face there. Now, this guy was made in China, by the way. Who's from St. Catharines. But anyway, with that, he's doing a headstand. Hey, Boo. Boo, come here. Yeah, you can't go that far. All right, here he comes. Boo. Boo, come here. Come here. Good girl. See, Boo likes to explore. She's happy, aren't you? Okay, so, and in the story about importance of a frog could be, oh, okay, I lost the paper. What's that? Oh, there it is. See, and here it's got frog, and it says, fully rely on God. That's what, to be fully, you know, with God, it's enjoying the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the water, the happiness. The thing with joy is, you can, do you like sharing joy with anyone? Who do you like sharing joy with?
My friends.
Your friends, are they special friends, I bet, right? Well, who do you like joy with?
With my friends.
With your, I bet you got a lot of friends, right? How about you, Charlie?
You.
Oh, me? Oh, you get an extra candy for that. Okay. So, what we want to do is, and we're going to wrap this up, that we're going to listen to Paul, Brother Paul, and he's going to talk about joy, the Spirit. Where did he go anyway? Okay. Okay, good. Well, Boo's making his rounds there. Anyway. Come on, Boo. Boo, come here. That's it. Yeah, you're allowed to see people. Boo's a sidekick, by the way. So anyways, and Boo is my special friend, by the way. She brought me joy. When I was feeling sad, Boo found the church during my walk, and I've been here 6 years since. But anyways, I hope you enjoy the sermon. Now, under the frog or not under the... Oh, right by Trudy there. Now, this water will be talking about... This has got pure life on it. That, to me, is water when you're thirsty and that. Now, I want you to feel the joy, and please just take some candies. You guys got lots of friends, so take some candies for yourself and your friends. And thank you very much.
How do you follow that up? No. And I see you have your friend next to you, Trudy. And lots of treats. Brian, don't forget your walking stick here either. That's later. With Boo along this morning to brighten people up, in our neighborhood, one of the neighbors, John Bergen, who has a very small dog who's quite elderly already too, but if you can imagine him, John, walking down the street and every once in a while stopping and saying, come on, Randy, come on, Randy. And I'm in the yard going, what? It took some time ago already. It took a little while to realize they named their dog Randy. And so when they're walking down the street, and the dog off-leash, of course, wanders around a little bit. So when they come by, I go outside and say, come here, Randy, come here. He's really friendly, and we have a good time together. Most of the time when you see me here, I can be a fairly serious fellow, like sedate. But, yeah, you often don't see me when I'm having a lot of fun. Anyway, but because there are important things that typically I share here, and so that's kind of the face I have here. This morning, our flowers here, beautiful arrangement, if you take notice, in memory of Frank Steingard, who passed away 10 years ago. And so Margie and family are here this morning, and just acknowledging, there you are, sorry, I was looking around to see where you were, to acknowledge that. And for many of the rest of us, we at times remember those special occasions of family who have gone on before us. And so we acknowledge that this morning. Thank you for sharing those flowers. If you've ever been down to the Niagara Gorge along the Niagara River, you may have watched the turbulent waters and have observed the patterns of the flow of the river, and yet also recognizing that in the current, it's constantly changing and swirling. Last Thursday, you may not have noticed, but on the calendar for some, and these days it seems to go right by us, the special occasion that it was last Thursday, Ascension Day, the days following Easter, the days before Pentecost, next Sunday, acknowledging in the book of Acts, chapter 1, the description of the disciples gathering with Jesus, and Jesus blessing them, and then rising to heaven with the promise of his return. And so as a Christian community, we acknowledge that. Jesus promised the disciples the Spirit with a breath. And in fact, the word Spirit in both the Greek, the Hebrew, and even in the Latin, the word Spirit literally means breath. And so thinking about that, the breath of air, the flowing of a river, God's Spirit giving life. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God of heaven and giver of life, we received our first breath of air upon departing mother's womb. We grow in expectation, and at times in our growing, we wait. We wait for our second breath to receive the gift of your Spirit. This morning we celebrate the coming of Jesus, who came at Christmas time. We commit our lives to following him in faith, the gift of your salvation. And so this morning, once again, we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit of life. May the gift of life we receive also be the gift of life for your church. During these days of springtime, when we plant our gardens, may this also be a time of your seeds of hope being planted in us, your church, for the sharing of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. God be with Paul as he shares from your word. We ask that you bless our tithes and offerings as we share in your kingdom. Bless our gatherings these days with affirmations of friendship, of joy, and compassion as we share as a community of faith. We give you thanks for our gathering this morning, for those who have taken opportunity of the long weekend to be outdoors and to spend time with family and friends. Grant safety, but also times of joy. Renew our commitment as a people of faith, hope, and love because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. As we share in this time of worship, bless us with your peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is on page 1660 in the Pew Bible. And I'm going to wait a little bit for you to grab those Pew Bibles and look it up. The reason I'm going to wait a little bit is because it is so short that if I don't wait, I'll be finished before you even open up the Bible. It's only three verses. So please take the Pew Bible, 1660. It's John chapter 7, 37 to 39. And the other reason I want you to look at in the Bible is that it gives you the context in which this little section was written. You'll see that it is towards the end of Jesus' life. They're about to arrest him. They're questioning, who is this guy? And that's when he says these words, John 7, 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. To up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Thus far, the reading of God's word.
I would encourage you to keep your pew Bible open or your device where you have it to John chapter 7, because that, of course, will be one of the texts that we will be referring to today. In the middle of the week, as we were talking about the worship service and planning the music and speaking with Marion Reimer Friesen, who is in charge of our children's stories, she said, "I think this might be a good Sunday for Brian to lead the children's story." And she said, "It'll be about a frog." And I thought, okay, so Brian's bringing his pet frog, but I had no idea where he's going to go with that topic except frogs. And I don't mind telling you, when I was listening to the story, it reminded me of a couple of images of my relationship with frogs. I used to love to watch the frogs swimming. And I remember as a young boy being in a little boat on a little marshy area. And my mother, this isn't a very nice story actually, said, "How be we have frog's legs for supper tonight?" So that was my afternoon delight to prepare dinner for our family. Frog's legs, bullfrogs with large rear legs. More about frogs in a few moments, but thank you very much, Ron, for queuing up that lovely video that we were able to see. As you come in, you hear that video as worship committee. We're trying to have some appropriate videos that relate to the theme that we're developing. And so if you have suggestions, of course, you need to know what we're preaching on, but worship committee is taking care of that for us. But when I was in Manitoba, I'm not sure about both in Manitoba and also in Ontario, in farmer's country, if the silo was cleared out, you get wonderful acoustics inside those silos. And so I can remember listening to groups recording music inside these silos. That group, tell me again, Ron, where is that group from? Bethel College. Bethel College, that is in Ohio? Kansas. So that was a wonderful... I digress again. Next Sunday, Pastor Randy reminded us, is Pentecost Sunday, and we look forward to that. And again, it'll be a wonderful celebration of the ordinances, but also a celebration of Pentecost Sunday. That particular piece, when I went down to the river to pray, it was also featured in the movie, "O Brother, Where Art Thou?" But when that movie was popularized, it just so happened we were having a Pentecost Sunday, and there were a number of young adults preparing for baptism, and I went out on a limb and I said, let's borrow some of these baptismal gowns from the Baptist, and so all of the baptismal candidates on Pentecost Sunday in our little Mennonite church made a processional coming forward, and we were playing that song, "When I Went Down to the River to Pray," because that, of course, that scene was, of course, in the movie, "O Brother, Where Art Thou?" The sermon title today, Flowing Like a River. It took me quite a long time before I became a good floater. Being told to lay on your back, mom or dad would place their hands and their arms, and they would say, Paul, just lay back. Trust me, we won't let you go. And it took me a little while, but I did become quite the accomplished floater. In fact, I love floating to this very day. I learned to float on the shores of Georgian Bay. I continue to float in backyard pools in the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Mediterranean, the Sea of Galilee, and who can't float in the Dead Sea? But it's even better to float and flow with the river current, flowing like a river. One true story I wish to share with you is now, I'm going to get in trouble here this morning, is now probably illegal. But at the time, some 30 plus years ago, it was not. At least there were no signs up saying you cannot do this. Our middle son, Stephen, took me to a very favorite spot where he liked to go swimming with his friends. And he said, Dad, come along with me. You will enjoy this so very much. We would climb up onto a bridge, and underneath the bridge, of course, was the Chippewa River. So not down by the rapids, Randy, but we're upstream where the Chippewa flows into the great Niagara River. And he said, Dad, we just get up on the railing of that bridge, and you look down to the river, and we would jump off the bridge down into the river, laughing and talking, only eventually to climb up on the rocks and run back to the bridge and do it all over again. Floating with the flow of the river as it led to the mighty Niagara. Not too smart, you're saying. Well, this was when I was young and foolish with a son who had a wanderlust. On another occasion, Stephen took us out into the BC interior along an old logging road, and then he would say, all right, we park our car here and we go down the side of the mountain to a pool formed from a hot spring. And we would float and soak in that hot spring. To this day, I love to float. Pools, ponds, beaches, allowing myself to be buoyed up by the water. I learned to trust and simply be present with the water. Flowing water, Jesus said to the woman at the well. Flowing water. The water I give you will become a spring of water welling up inside you. John 4, verse 10 to 14. And then in the book of the Revelation, the Apostle John speaks, and the angel showed John the river of life flowing from the throne of God. Revelation 22. These images of soaking and floating, flowing into your very soul this morning, flowing like a river. Saving faith, in some ways, trusting in the big river of God's providential love, which is to trust the visible embodiment, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the flow, the Holy Spirit, and the very source of the river itself from the throne of God the Father. This is a divine process that we don't have to change or coerce or improve. It is present and it saturates the scriptures as we find ourselves soaking in the divine presence. We just need to allow and enjoy it. It takes confidence, especially when we're uncertain as to our future. It's confusing, or maybe we're hurting, to simply trust. The same parent who said, I'm undergirding you, Let's learn to float, Paul. The same parent who taught me to float also taught me to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Just lean back, Paul, and trust. Jesus encouraged and invited the woman at the well who had some very deep hurts and longings to experience something absolutely radically different. Jesus promised that woman that her life would be transformed from the inside out. And that is the gospel message that Jesus gave to that woman in John chapter 4. That your life will be transformed. Jesus said that the water that he would give her would become within her a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We're not talking about a cistern here, but an artesian well, the aquifer. Her trying to find life on the outside had been a dismal failure. She had messed up her life big time. But now Jesus is telling her, you can find life, abundant life, from the inside as those springs of living water well up within you. At the very center of her soul, she could find a well of water, the living presence of God. What an incredible gift of eternal life. You remember the story from John chapter 3 when Jesus had the encounter with Nicodemus. We must be born again by water and the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus says, gives birth to our spirit. And oh, what a radical, divine transformation that the Spirit of God makes when we just trust and believe that Jesus, the Spirit, and the Father will fill us with that eternal life. Or take the very occasion when Jesus was offering this call, streams of living water will flow from within you. A very special day. That's the scripture that Brother Elf read to us from John 7, verse 37 to verse 39. A very special day on the Jewish calendar. It was to commemorate and remember the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt, and in particular, the event when the people were craving for water. In the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 17, Moses tells us how the people, soon after their escape from Egypt, moved south from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Rephidim. There was no water there. And so instead of trusting God, who had split the sea for them, we are told the people thirsted there for water and murmured against Moses, Exodus 17, verse 3. And so Moses cried to the Lord, and God caused water to come out of a rock. And now on the very last day of the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or Tents, as it is sometimes called, Jesus stands up. He's in the temple. He stands up on the last day when all of the pilgrims had arrived. It's very interesting that Jesus, when urged by his brothers, let us make our pilgrimage up to Jerusalem for the entire days of the feast. But Jesus said, no, 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 you go ahead, you go ahead, you go ahead. It's interesting that in verse 14, John says that the feast was half over before Jesus went up to the temple. I honestly believe that Jesus didn't want to go up to the temple as a pilgrim. He wanted to go up to the temple when the maximum number of people were there. And he was not the pilgrim, but he was the preacher. He was the preacher who declared the word. He was the fulfillment in the sense that the saving power and grace of God that the Jews celebrated were now present, uniquely available in Jesus. The longing for God and for the arrival of his kingdom, kept alive by all of these recurring feasts. They were wondering, is the promised Messiah coming? God had now drawn in his son, and he offered his saving rule to all people who would submit. The waiting was over. As Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's time for the ultimate change. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. To the woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus offered eternal life using the imagery of water. In John chapter 7, the Spirit had not yet descended, for Christ was still with the peoples. But the Holy Spirit is promised, even in this text. Oh, how important it is for us to know who it is from whom we drink. All the drinking in the world will not satisfy us if we do not see the historical magnitude of Jesus Christ, who is the source of living water, the flowing river, the aqueduct of God's presence, the deep well, the stream that flows through the desert. Please understand that other people drink from many different wells. The wells that they thirst for is the well of wealth, or the well of popularity, or the well of public opinion, or perhaps they drink from the well of Dr. Google, or they drink from the well of artificial intelligence. Many people have a fear of drinking and simply floating. I'll sink. If I was asked for a show of hands, how many people enjoy floating? You get that water in your ears. You know, maybe there's a wave that's coming and you're not sure that your body will actually ascend and descend with the motion of the wave. Water gets in my ears. I can't float. Water gets in my nose and then I panic. Now, this is not a sermon on water safety, but in some aspects it does apply to the Christian life. As I was listening to Brother Brian talk about the joy that can be found in life, whether it's through boo or whether it's through hearing and seeing those reptiles in the ponds, no, we are not frogs. We are not frogs, though we may claim to have reptilian brains. We are not reptiles. And trusting is not something that happens naturally. Usually I can feel myself get a little bit panicky when I'm just putting my head back and lifting my legs up. Then I want to quickly make things right. I lose my ability to be present. I'm ignoring my body and my heart while my mind is obsessing. I'm oriented towards goals and making things happen, forgetting the amazing, awesome, divine gift that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, the divine river of God's enveloping presence as we flow in the river of God's care, trusting. Faith does not need to push the river precisely because it's able to trust that there is a river. The river is flowing. We're already in it. So do not be afraid. We have been given the Spirit by a very proactive God. Jesus understands this gift as a foregone conclusion. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you who are evil know how to give your children what is good, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Now, how awesome is that? The Apostle Paul wrote, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, he reiterates, the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Grace fills empty spaces, but it can only enter where there is a void to receive it. And it is grace itself which makes this void. All we can do is try to keep our hands cupped and open. Or to use the illustration of floating, we simply need to lay back and trust that the water will hold us. Oh yes, we need to trust. And it is even grace to do that. But we must want grace and know we need it. Grace will lead us into such fears and emptiness, and grace alone can fill them up if we're willing to stay in the void. I was a bad boy when I was on my last cruise. The waters were very rough. There was a lot of swells. And any of you who have been on these ocean liners know that the pools, when the water is very rough, the pools, they empty the pools. It's dangerous to be in a pool because the water in the pool is swelling up and swelling back, swelling up and swelling back. And people could hit their heads on the side of the pool and so on and so forth. But before they closed the pool, guess who was in it? Laying back. And I literally was moved from the shallow end to the deep end, from one end of the pool to the other end of the pool, trusting, moving with the swells in the water. Oh, yes. Would panic set in? All of the officials on the cruise ship said, "Get that man out of the pool. We've got to drain it." This morning, I want to challenge you to acknowledge and live in that river with God's Spirit, allowing the divine current of God's Spirit to lead. Now, I don't think I'd want to be downriver. You heard Pastor Randy talk about the whirlpool. I've gone fishing down there, but I've never swam in the whirlpool. That would be deadly. My prayer for us is that God, the Spirit, might make us thirsty for Jesus Christ. That in receiving His Spirit, we are transformed from the inside out. To use Jesus' term, yes, we are born again by the Spirit of God. That He might remove the callous from the taste buds of our heart and cause us to drink deep and savor the magnificence of Jesus, who fulfills all of history past that all the Jewish people hope for and embodies all the glorious hope for our present and for our future life. Brothers and sisters, let us drink from that divine aqueduct of God's Spirit. Choose life that is abundant. Trust the strong arms of God. The Spirit of God undergirding you. You will not sink. Be like the frog. The joy, the peace, contentment as they floated along their pond. If the Spirit will do this for us, we have it on the word of Jesus that out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. May it be so in each of our lives. Let's sing together. Joys are flowing like a river.
Please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
our benediction, we'll remain standing for our final hymn. Let us pray. Oh, the joy that is found as we trust that you will hold us, that you will keep us afloat. And indeed, as we flow with your current, may we find perfect peace and contentment. May your blessing, your benediction, rest upon us all. In the name of Father, Son, and Spirit of God. Amen.